Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. You want to have some fun?
Yeah, we want to have fun.
Okay, are you ready? Sing along now.
My name is Stanley Bookman, and I come from the world of ink. I live in a town called Storyville that's closer than you think. Just hop online and you will find my online world of fun. There's stories, poems, and features on everything under the sun. Just type in Stories for Children Magazine at .org to the end. Come join me in reading adventures, we're sure to become good friends. So come to the world of ink with me, we'll share a story or two. We'll go all over the world, you'll see, we'll have fun the whole day through.
Follow me to the world of ink.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Stories for Children show at BTR World of Ink Network with your hosts, Viaz Gringe, and myself, Irene Groth. It's truly an honor to be here with you today. It's Monday, July 16th, 2012, at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. As always, Stories for Children can be listened to live every other Monday of the month here on the World of Ink Network, or you can listen to it on demand as well at any time you'd like at the same address or on iTunes. Just search for World of Ink Network, and you'll find our show on iTunes. The chat room is also going to be open today to post your questions. If you have a call-in question for our guest, please call 714-242-5259. That's 714-242-5259.
Thanks, Irene. You did such a great job with our opening. We were concerned for a second because we weren't sure if our guest today was getting delayed with all the crazy weather going on and the fact that we're in different time zones, but I see Joe just called in, so we will
introduce her. Yeah.
So she's, I opened the mic when you were doing the opening, Irene. So, hi, Joe. How are you doing?
Hello.
Hi, Joe.
Thank you.
Well, I just want to let our listeners know a few things really quick before we completely introduce you, Joe, to them today. But this is the Stories for Children show. We do this, try and do it every Monday if we have a guest, obviously. So today we have, and Joe will correct me if I pronounce it wrong because I'm sure in Italian it's different, but her name is Joe Linsdell, and she is the author and illustrator of Out and About at the Zoo. And
correct.
I did get it correct. Okay, well, because my son's last name is Pellinari, but I know when you pronounce it in Italian, it's more like. What was that?
And it's not actually in Italian. My Italian surname from my husband is actually Feliciani.
Oh.
All right. Well, see, and you never know because like my son, like I was going to say, his last name is Pellinari, and that's how we pronounce it here in the U.S., but it is an Italian last name, so it's Pellinari over there. I know. But we don't stress. And my name is, of course, over here in the U.S., we say Grenier, but it's really Grenier because it's French. And so you never know. And since I know you're over there. Yeah, since I know you're over there in Italy. I figured, well, you never know. Maybe we're just going to botch it here in the U.S. And so, but I wanted to say our show today, we've gotten an email from Blog Talk Radio saying that they were going to feature our show today. But I looked and I don't see it anywhere in the featured section. So I don't know if they said they're going to feature it and then something happened and it didn't get up. So hopefully they'll feature it later or maybe I just missed it, but supposedly our show today is a featured show. So if it is, thank you, Blog Talk. If it's not, well, I guess something happened, and oh, well, life happens, right?
It does.
So, but like I said, Joe Linsdell is the author and illustrator of Out and About at the Zoo, which is the first picture book of a series of, and the series is going to be Out and About that she is working on. But you've also written other books. I mean, I know they've been more the nonfiction, how-to kind of books, and you're also a very talented blog editor. I know I've been following your blog, Authors and Writers, for a number of years, and for the last few months, you've been kind enough to host to host some of our authors on there when they do their World of Ink tours. And that's one reason why we have you on the show is because you are one of our hosts for the World of Ink tours. And so we're like, well, hey, since you're putting together this blog tour for yourself, you know, let us help you and have you on the show. And, you know, so, I mean, it's going to be kind of a fun show because we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I really can't thank you enough for collaborating with me on this tour. I decided to go a bit crazy and organize a 3-month-long one. So all the help is very much appreciated. And you guys do a fantastic job. I work with a lot of tour companies through my blogs, and you guys are one of the best.
Oh, thank you. That makes us feel good.
Yeah.
We try. We really try. And we wouldn't be able to, I don't think we'd be able to do what we do if it wasn't for Stories for Children Publishing, which is, you know, one of the, it's the World of Ink Network is kind of an affiliate of, because I am partnered with Marcia Casper Cook. But, I mean, it's really the magazine and the connections we've made through that that's actually made what we've done with our tours even possible and what we do here on our network with our radio shows and stuff, because I don't think we'd have the reach that we did without it. So, but thank you. That means a lot to us. Now, you actually have written a couple of nonfiction books that are like how-to books for, you know, people. I know one of them, which I think is so cute, because you actually just had your anniversary, was written around planning weddings in Italy, because that's where you got married, and you just had your anniversary. So would you like just to kind of talk about that a little bit, just because your wedding picture was
so cute
that you posted on Facebook?
I had my anniversary 6 years last Friday, and basically after I got married, because my husband's Italian and I'm English,
mm-hmm.
And so getting married in Italy is not the easiest of things. In fact, doing anything in Italy is not the easiest of things, if I'm honest, because paperwork and things can be very confusing here. But basically, when we got married, I was looking for a book like it to help me organize my own wedding, and I couldn't find one. So I decided that I would make my own, which is how A Guide to Weddings in Italy came about. Before that, my first book that I did is Italian for Tourists, which is an English-Italian phrase book, but it's designed specifically for tourists.
Mm-hmm.
So, because there was a lot of phrase books around at the time, but they all had so much information in them that, you know, like, tourists get confused. You don't have to look through millions of pages to find what you need. You need, like, what you need there. You don't want to buy an apartment or anything like that. So I made the guide for that purpose. I had so many people ask me to do one that I did. And it's still selling well even now, so.
Oh, good.
So you did a great job on it. I've never been over to Europe. I really want to go. But my dad, he's actually my stepdad, but he's been. And he absolutely loved it. And he loved Italy. And he said, however, he would have had a very hard time if he wasn't there with some friends who were very, you know, used to being over there vacationing. He's like, because, you know, if you look at most typical tour guides or do like the little tour bus thing, he's like, there's so many things you would miss of the culture. And so I'm sure you probably have adapted some of that into yours, which is maybe why it's so popular, because, I mean, I know there's a lot of really great places from what he's told me that most tourists wouldn't even know to find, because it is difficult to figure out what to do when you look at everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there is so much here, but, I mean, they say a lifetime isn't enough, and they're right. I mean, I've been living here. I came here for 3 days back in 2001 and ended up staying, which is a whole other story all in itself. But even now, after all these years, there are still things that I haven't done, which, you know, the usual tourists try to cram in and things. An example is going to see the Sistine Chapel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even after all of these years, I've still not gone in to see it.
Wow.
Which is crazy, because like that's one of the first things that tourists do when they come here. But as it's actually free on the last Sunday of every month to go in.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured, well, I live here now. so I'll go when it's free. And then I've never ended up going.
I have to say, because I used to live in California, that's where I was actually born and raised. And so everybody's like, oh, and Southern California on top of it. And so everybody's like, oh, you must go to Disneyland all the time. And I laughed because I actually sat one day and counted out how many times I've been to Disneyland. And, I mean, literally Disneyland, okay, putting in L.A. traffic, because L.A. traffic's nasty, was probably maybe 3 hours from my house. And that's like sitting in the parking lot of the freeway. And
oh,
I'm like, gosh, I haven't even gone as old as I am now, which I'm getting pretty close to 40. And I'm like, wow. And I, like, now I live in Utah, but I was like, you know, I was, like, pretty much right around the corner from the place. And, you know, I didn't go, like, every year. I maybe went every couple of years or every few years. So it's weird how when you live near something, you get that mindset of, well, I'll get to it. You know, I live here.
That's right.
Yeah, everyone always has that. In fact, in England, I became a tourist because I took my husband to England. He'd never been before, so I actually got to be a tourist in London. And I was like, I never did this stuff when I lived here.
Oh, my goodness.
That's funny. So your book, which, you know, talking about tourism and stuff, I mean, you pretty much already had it in your blood to some degree of, you know, exploring and looking at things in that kind of light, which, you know, makes total sense to do a kid's book, you know, in a series actually called Out and About, because that's exactly what you did. You took your kids, or I think it was just your son maybe, and you guys went to the zoo, which is what instigated your book, Out and About the Zoo.
Yeah, my oldest is now 4.5,
because
I had two boys. Mateo, who is 4.5 now, and Lorenzo, who is 11.5 months, the little one. But little one wasn't around when we actually went to the zoo with the eldest. But basically, I took him to the zoo for the day, and it's the first time he'd gone and things. And basically, since then, he just kept pestering me. He's like, Mummy, why haven't you written a book for me? And I was like, you know what? You've got a very good point there.
Oh,
yeah, and so the Out and About the Zoo was born.
But
we love going out to different places and sort of seeing new things, and it's great seeing the world through his eyes where he's experiencing things for the first time. And so it's been an inspiration to make the whole series of the books.
Right.
So there will be more to come in the future.
Yeah, I mean, kids really do... you know, really inspire a lot of what we do. I mean, I have my picture book, Baby Says Sugar Paw, which actually just won the Mom's Choice Award, the Silver Award, and I wrote that book
congratulations.
Thank you. And when I wrote that book, I mean, at first, the idea was, you know, because it was actually an assignment that I was doing for one of my writing classes, and it was, so originally it was a short story, and it was, you know, you're supposed to look at a bunch of pictures and pick one of the pictures and then draw a story from it. So I found this picture with a bunch of bears making a mess of this bathroom. And so I kind of started writing out this story, and then as I fine-tuned it into a picture book, I mean, I started drawing on the fact of my son, because he literally grew up, so I was working full-time when he was little, being in daycare and after-school programs and how hard that was on him, and, you know, some of the stuff that I knew he did and some of the kids did, and I started thinking about myself as a kid and how awful I was to babysitters. And so that's what kind of inspired my book. And, you know, it really made me realize, going back and looking at it through kids' eyes, going, wow, you know, you forget kind of sometimes how they see things versus we do, you know. And it was an eye-opener working on that picture book. So I'm sure working on your series is the same thing, because, you know, you realize things that you didn't. I mean, last night my daughter's really funny. We're sitting on the couch, and she breathed in through her nose and out through her mouth. She's like, Mom, when I breathe in through my nose, if I open my mouth, the air comes out. And I just started laughing. Thinking, well, of course it's all connected, but I'm realizing she doesn't know the anatomy.
Yeah, those little things that we sort of take for granted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well,
yeah.
She discovered her breath.
Yes, she discovered
that's great.
Her nose and throat are all connected.
Oh, wow.
But it was just funny. I just kind of laughed. I'm like, oh, that's so funny. But so I think that's great that you are writing the series and incorporating, you know, your son in the series as well, and just kind of his viewpoint. I can't even tell you how much I stress to writers the importance of that, especially when they're young adult and children's writers, if they have kids or grandkids to do that, because, you know, kids – we get so busy. I mean, and I know you're as busy as I am, and Irene is, you know, with your blogs and all the stuff that you have going on, trying to find time for your personal writing and family time is so hard. And so this is
very hard.
It is.
So this find a balance between everything is,
yes,
is not easy. So I have the little one as well. So
yeah,
so
now you have two.
And they really are keeping me busy.
So I just think this is a great way for to incorporate them into your writing and to make it more of a family experience. I mean, I just actually wrote a blog post last week for a site that I do stuff for, which is the Brand Buzz Network, about blogging with family. And it was basically on the same kind of concept of, you know, find something that you can do with your kids or your, you know, your partner, whoever, you know, that's a loved one that you live with, kind of thing, to incorporate into, so your blogging isn't like something you're doing by yourself and hours away from family, kind of thing. And so when I think of your series and the fact that you go to the zoo with your son and then you took that and made it into a book, I mean, how great is that? Because he's going to grow up, you know, realizing, you know, my mom's writing's a part of me too. You know, I was a part of that with her. I mean, such
oh,
a fond memory.
He loves it. When we got the copy in the post of the actual book, he was like, "Mommy, that's my book." That's what we did that. Because he helped me when I was doing the pictures and things. He pulled out all the photos of our own day at the zoo, and he looked in the books and things that he already had for pictures of animals. And so when I was drawing the pictures and he was like, "Yeah, that one's okay. No, I don't like that one. Or you have to change that." He was absolutely fantastic and completely honest as well. He didn't hold back on criticism. And it wasn't right. He was there saying, "No, Mummy's got to change it." So I'm really pleased with the end result of it because he loves it.
Right.
And I know that if he loves it, then other kids are going to love it as well because it just makes sense, you know. It's something that they just have. They can have the connection to it. Obviously, it's special for him because it's about our own life and things, and he helped pick which animals should be in it and things like that. And he was always there. He's always asking me to read it to him and things as well. Even now, it's a very popular bedtime story. It's really satisfying. Like I get a real buzz from the fact that he's been able to be part of one of my projects for a change, because the other stuff, my nonfiction stuff and like the chicklet that I'm working on and things, he can't really be involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been nice. It's been fun. It's made the whole project a lot more fun.
That's great. Now, I'm just curious because, I mean, I know that you've been doing a lot of different types of writing. I mean, it's something that isn't, you know, you just sat down one day and decided to do. I mean, you've been doing this for a number of years. What about illustrating? I mean, when I saw that you were also the illustrator, I was like, wow, I didn't know that you could draw, too. I mean, I was really impressed by that. So did you go to school in art or...?
Well, I did. When in school, I used to love all of the creative subjects. So, like, my creative English literature and things like that. Theatre, I did a lot of theatre as well. All over the years, even after school, I did some theatre and things as well. And art and design was one of my favourite subjects, so much so that I actually went on to do that when I was in college as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not digital illustrating, though. From that point of view, this is the first time for me.
In fact,
I would have been completely lost if it wasn't for a friend of mine from college who explained to me about transparencies and embedding and things like that, because it was my first time with a digital graphics program.
I bet that was such a learning curve.
Got there in the end, but it's been a big learning curve.
Yeah, wow. I mean, I couldn't even... I find, I mean, with Stories for Children magazine, which is totally digital, and, you know, and constantly the ebook formats and stuff keep changing, and I don't have the time to even go there and, like, learn all the different ways to convert your PDFs into those formats. So because everybody's like, "Why do you have it here? Why do you have it there?" I'm like, do you understand? I would, like, be living at my computer 24/7 to do all this. So I couldn't even imagine doing the art. I am so glad I have an art director, because if I would be lost without Rosemary. That's all I have to say, because I'm just like, I can look at it and say, yeah, it looks great when like she sends me the proofs. And then I'm like, from there, it's all yours. Have fun.
Yeah, like I said, I would have been lost if it wasn't for a friend of mine who actually, he does this kind of thing for a living. And he offered me some tips and advice and explained a bit about how the program works for the technical stuff, so I could actually get the final done. Because the first time I loaded it up, in fact, like the little boy ended up with no arms. Well, I hadn't thought about the layering properly, because I was like, oh, no, where did his arms and legs go? And so he saved the day for that one and explained to me how I needed to set the program so that it showed properly on the final.
Yeah. So would you say that was probably the biggest challenge, was actually doing the illustrations to digital?
Oh, definitely. Definitely the hardest part. Because the actual story... I wrote it in one sitting, and it only took me about 40 minutes to get the actual sort of final story done. So that went really, really easily. And then for the sketches, that only actually took me about a week to get the rough draft, like pencil drawings down for the storyboard for what I wanted. But it was actually the making it digital and getting the final result right. That was what took the time.
Yeah. Now, did you actually lay out a dummy of your book? And for listeners who aren't sure what a dummy is, it's basically where you take the illustrations and the context, you know, whatever sentences, words that you're going to have with each illustration and lay it out. So did you do that, so you kind of had an idea of, you know, how many animals you needed to draw up and exactly what each scene need to look at like? Or did you kind of write the story and then go back in and just kind of fit the illustrations to?
Well, basically what I did was old pencil and paper, old-fashioned style, drew up a grid of 32 pages, because most children's books, average children's books, have 32 pages.
Right.
So not that, I was like, okay, I'll start with that as a rough idea, and then I'll break it down. So penciled in the title page, copyright page, and all the other sort of non-story essentials to the actual book. And then it was just a case of sort of seeing how I could break the text down to flow throughout the book. And then I added in the pictures afterwards.
It's such a fun way of doing it too, isn't it, Joe? Because at least you can see your whole book, like, you know, the blueprint of your book right in front of you, and it's just so exciting that way. I know I'm just writing a picture book myself right now, just doing that very thing, you know, not illustrating, but, you know, putting the dialogue tags and everything on separate pages and dividing the scenes up and all of that, and you can see the whole book unfold, and it's really great that way. So
it's when it starts to become real.
Yeah.
It's when it transforms to being just that idea in your head to actually becoming a book, I think. And I do that on, like, one page, so I have the whole sort of mini grid of 32 pages. And then I do a two-scale page for every page of the book.
Oh,
so I have
an
actual sort of paper and pencil version of the book, and then I scan it into the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And then work on it on the graphics program.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
It is
really
such a process.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's
it
fun having
on very long-winded to do it that way, but it works best for me.
I'm sure I have the
actual version of what it's going to become.
Yeah.
So I can get my ideas clearer on what it is as I'm doing it.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I mean, it's so fun having you on the show too, because usually we just have, you know, the authors on it, and so it's like, oh, well, you know, my illustrator this, my illustrator that. But I mean, to have you here and like really talk about what goes into creating a book, because I mean, as kids, you know, when we as authors, when you know, when you go out and you talk to them and you know, usually we read the story and we tell them a little bit, like, you know, where the idea came from, and we share how we get ideas. But, you know, we never really break down. At least I haven't been to, because I like to piggyback on a lot of my friends when they go do author visits and kind of see their presentations. And there's a few of them that, you know, will get a little bit more with the older kids into kind of what happens. But, you know, I don't really think that they understand, or I don't even think actually even the average adult reader really understands what goes into a book and the processes involved.
Oh, definitely. I think a lot of people are sort of, they have this misguided interpretation that children's books are easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like out of all of the books that you can write, children's books are the easiest. When in fact, I think they're actually the hardest.
Yeah, I agree.
So even on without thinking about the illustrations and things, just from the text, because mm-hmm. you have such a limited text that every single word counts.
Yeah,
you know, and it has to be, the choice of words has to be words that children of your target reader audience can understand and associate with and things. You have to put a lot more thought into it, I think.
Which talking about the text, because, you know, your book, Out and About at the Zoo, is basically, it's written in rhyme, and it's basically like reading a nice long poem of a tour through the zoo. What, when you were writing your text, I mean, what made you decide what animals to pick to put in the text? And, I mean, for exactly that reason, I mean, because you have to figure out which choice words to use because you are so limited. So, especially when you're in rhyme, it makes, I think, even more difficult. So I'm just kind of curious, what made you choose to do it in rhyme? And then how did you go about figuring out which, you know, parts of the zoo you were going to hit? Because, I mean, there's so much to see, depending on what type of zoo you go to. I mean, I used to live in San Diego. It's like the San Diego Wild Animal Park. I could even imagine somebody even writing a picture book on that, because it would be, well, okay, here's a quarter about the place. Because
where
I'm
do we start?
Sure. Yeah, where do you even start?
No, that's true. In fact, I think I did pick a particularly difficult thing by doing a rhyming book. But my son loved rhyming books.
Mm-hmm.
But like his favorite book of all time is The Gruffalo, which is a story completely in rhyme. And seeing as I was writing the book for him, it was like, okay, it's got to be in rhyme. So that's why it ended up being in rhyme. For the animals, I started off by making a list of all of the animals that we'd seen at the zoo. And then just had a bit of a play around, sort of thinking about what sort of things they'd done, and trying to fit in words and try and find words that would rhyme with it. And just sort of like threw it all down as a brainstorming session. And then packaged it all together.
Yeah.
Wow. What was your favorite part of the book? Like, what's your favorite animal at the zoo?
Oh, definitely the monkeys.
The monkeys? Why monkeys? I'm just curious why monkeys.
That's an easy question. I could sit and watch the monkeys at the zoo all day.
Wow.
What is it about monkeys you love? And I think it's funny you pick monkeys, because my middle child, who's my oldest daughter, we actually call her Monkey Girl, because when she hit about the age of – no, when she hit about the age of two, she literally treated our house like it was a jungle gym. If she could climb it, she did. I mean, we have a picture of her where she climbed up in, you know how the big TV entertainment centers, how they have like the shelves where you can put knickknacks or books or, you know, whatever you want to put in them.
Mm-hmm.
We have a picture where she climbed up onto the third shelf of that.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And is curled up
wow.
like a cat sleeping in there.
Oh.
So I'm just curious. So monkeys. So what is it about monkeys that you like, Joe?
For one, there are a lot of them. At least in the Rome Zoo, there is a huge variety. You have the tiny little baby ones. And then, like, the really big male ones. Mm. So there was so many different varieties of the same monkey, if you like, in there. And they seem to interact more. They're more entertaining. You had the ones that were splashing water, ones that were chasing each other around, ones that were climbing up the trees, the mother one that was, you know, feeding the youngest one. And there was just so much going on. You can't get bored looking at monkeys.
Yeah,
and they're
true.
Also problem solve too, don't they? They problem solve a lot too. I'm fascinated sometimes watching monkeys, but they problem solve right before your very eyes so many times, and I find that really fascinating too, just watching them.
Yeah, it's true. You know what I thought was
really clever.
They are clever. What I thought was interesting, because when you grow up as a kid and you watch cartoons and there's monkeys in it, they always show them peeling the bananas to eat them. And I remember the first time I went to the zoo and they had, like, you know, a big old bushel of bananas out there for the monkeys to get. And they just put them out there. So the monkeys, of course, were all grabbing their bananas off the thing. And, you know, of course, they're fighting, trying to get the biggest one they can, right? And all of a sudden I watch them and they start eating it through the peel. And I'm like, ew.
Ouch.
I didn't know I didn't realize they ate the banana peel. Like,
oh. Yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah, they eat
the
whole thing. So anybody listening, just so you know, if you've never seen a monkey, they don't peel a banana. They eat the whole banana, peel and all.
What a great tip.
My favorite animal at the zoo, well, it's my two favorite ones at the zoo usually, are the tigers and the kangaroos. I don't know why I like those two, but I do.
Oh, I love kangaroos, too. They're great. They're really cute, aren't they?
They're interesting.
They are cute.
Yeah.
They're
very
interesting animals. So what's your son's favorite?
Book, one of the kangaroos in the book has a little baby in its pouch. Because when we were at the zoo, there was a kangaroo with a baby in its pouch. And Mateo was very adamant that one of the kangaroos in the book should have the baby.
Oh.
At the zoo, they had one.
Oh. It's, you know,
and even now, every time we read the book, he's like, there's the baby.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think kids are very fascinated with that because, I mean, how many animals really, I mean, I know there's a lot of marsupial animals, but I mean, how many can you actually see their pouch and see the baby in the pouch? I mean, I think kangaroos are one of the few that you can really get a good glimpse of that Joey sitting there in the pouch peeking out at you.
Wow.
Like a little hide-and-seek pouch.
Wow.
So are kangaroos your son's favorite, or has he ever shared with you what his favorite animal is at the zoo?
Well, he kind of changes depending on the day of the week. Because he's a huge animal fan. He loves all of them. So some days it's the elephants, which he thought were fantastic. And then other days it'll be the hippo, because he remembers when we went to the zoo and the hippo opened its mouth, how big its mouth was and things. Other days it's the monkey. Because he likes to be a bit of a monkey himself. So, in fact, I made some free download activity packs to go with the book, which are available from my website, which is www.joliensell.com. And basically, there's printable masks, so you can actually become one of the animals from the book.
Wow.
And I was saying to him, I was like, okay, which masks do I make first? And he's like, the monkey. And he's like, we made the mask, and then he spent the whole day going around being a monkey.
That's cute.
He has, like, so much fun. So.
Oh, yeah.
That's very cute. So with your out and about in the zoo, what are some of the things that you hope parents will do when they read your book and you know, when they're sharing, or teachers or homeschooling parents, and they're sharing the book with kids? Because, you know, I know when we write picture books, you know, we just, a lot of times people pick up the book, you know, especially kids, you know, they just pick it up for the fun and entertainment value. But there's so much that you can do within a picture book to teach kids. So have you ever really... Yeah, I'm sure you sat with your son and there's things that you've done and probably maybe have even thought about it that have been learning kind of tools as well with your book that others can maybe use.
Definitely. Like I said, he loves animals, so any animal-connected project is a hit. So by doing the book, even when we were picking the animals and things, we spoke about the different animals and the sort of things that they do, what they like to eat, where they live. So even looking at habitats and things, just even like on a casual conversation, because obviously at 4.5 years old, he's not old enough to understand a lot of the scientific, things behind it. But as simple things like we got out some plates, and in one of them we put some sand, in another one we put some water, and in another one, we put some grass, and we got out some of his plastic animal toys, and it was like, okay, who lives in the sand? Who lives by the grass? And so he started studying animal habitats.
That's a very cute idea.
There's so many things that you can create, and it's a really good educational tool for them. growing up. As far as like the message that I hope parents will go away from the book with is the importance of spending time together and creating a bond with your child. And, you know, it's fun. It's fun to spend time with your kids and, you know, see the world through their eyes. So I hope that when they're reading the book, and not just parents either, grandparents and other carers as well, aunts, uncles and things, it's all, you know, they can come away with that and be like, yeah, this kid had a great time at the zoo with his mum. You know, and I hope they take it as a thing to think about, the different things that they can do to bond more with their children as well.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I have to say, with it being summer right now, it's been really hard trying to balance the writing and the kid time, because they're all home.
Yeah, I bet.
And it hits that certain time of day, like right about now, because they're all going crazy outside my office right now. my 16-year-old's watching the two youngest, and they're all, I can hear them, they're being pretty loud. So I don't know if it's registering across or not. But it's hard, because I get out and I have so much fun with them, you know, because when they're in school during, you know, the fall and winter time, you know, they come home after school, let's do homework, okay, let's have some reading time, you know, or we'll, like, do family game night, eat dinner, okay, more homework or whatever, and then off to bed you go. And so we still have family time, but it's shorter. But right now during the summer, it's like, sometimes it's hard after, like, I take my afternoon and go do something with them to come back in the evening and get back at work, because I'm like, oh, but I just want to still play and have fun.
Of course.
Yeah. I know that feeling.
So,
I think it's one of those things, you have to sort of organize and sort of think like, okay, I'll have like an hour. I try to do it so that it's fairly even, so that I can, you know, I'll take them to the park and it's like, okay, we'll go to the park and we'll go and play on that and things. And then when we come back, you can have a little snack and some downtime. And while they're doing that, I then get, they're playing. You can hear them laughing in the background, actually. Brothers playing away, so I organize it so that we then do something that will tire them out a bit, and something that's fun for all of us, and then we come back, and then, you know, they can have a snack or they can relax and maybe watch a cartoon or something. And while they're doing that, that's when I hop on the computer and I try to get a bit of marketing done. Or usually I concentrate on the marketing side of things during the day. Because I do freelance writing work as well, where I write articles for various different publications. And so I try to sort of do any research that I need for those articles during these little, like, 10-minute breaks that I get here and there while they're being good. And then in the evening...
It takes a lot of planning, doesn't it? Joe, are you still there?
Uh-oh.
Hello? Oh, dear.
Oh, we might have lost her. I know my...
I have to say, it was my fault.
It might not have been.
Dear.
We've been having storms and stuff here, so that might have a lot
have
to do
you?
With it, too.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. My phone has been wonky, too, since that thunderstorm yesterday, so I don't know. I'm still surprised it's been going as well as it has been.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to bring her back, because my server has now gone down.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so we're just, you know, having technical difficulties all over the place. So hold on.
Yeah,
What
I was going to ask her and talk to her about was, of course, you know, planning your day and all of that. And, you know, and if you can plan your time, then you know, and sort of have a sense of when your time will be, then you'll be much more successful in getting the writing done, probably. But the fatigue level would get to people, too, after a while, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it can. Yeah. Hold on really quick. I know we're going to have a short little, like, pause of silence, everybody who's listening, but I'm going to have my son go reset the server for me so I can hopefully get back up so we can bring Joe back in. So hold on.
Okay.
So
nothing like a bit of a break.
Yeah, nothing like a bit of a break. Good thing I have a 16-year-old, because if I had little kids, I'd be running through the house like a crazy person trying to do this.
That's funny.
My goodness.
Yeah, oh well.
It's just, the storms are just causing all kinds of problems. But yeah, mentioning fatigue as we're trying to get ourselves back up here.
Mm-hmm.
It is hard because, you know, I have three in my house. And
oh, you do. Yeah, and that's tough, you know. What I try to do, of course, sometimes, especially when I'm teaching, what I do is I write it first thing in the morning. And so I get up at 7 o'clock in the morning and I write for a couple of hours and then I'm off to teach, you know. So that's
right.
The way I kind of bracket things. But in the summer it's harder, too, because, of course, I'm not teaching, so I don't have that structure. And a lot of times I just sort of say, well, I'm just going to take a day off today. And that's always a problem because you end up taking 2 and 3 and 4 days off. Before you know it, you're going, ouch, I think I have a big, huge gap in my writing schedule. So it's back to the drawing board and, you know, and doing that kind of thing. So yeah. I know how hard it is, and especially for people with small kids. At least I don't have small kids in the house, but I do have nieces and nephews that come over frequently, and they do stay overnight, so they can, you know, they can also be a little bit of a distraction, to say the least. So, yeah.
It's
one of those things, isn't it?
It is, and I better go shut my office door. I'm rebooting my computer, so everybody knows what's happening. Trying to get all the way back up, but it is hard, and you know, I really, you know, think it's great that you know Joanne's come out with this book to show that even though we are busy, you know, taking those, like she was saying, you know, that couple of hours to go to the park with your kid or to the zoo, and you know, even or grandchild, or you know, your nieces or nephews, or you know, your godchildren, whatever the situation is so important, because especially as writers, because you know, I think people say, oh great, I can't get my server back up, I may have to go, oh geez, this is really a lot of fun. I might
oh
have to go.
My goodness,
I might have to switch computers, I don't know what's going on.
Life is really interesting now, right?
It is, it really is interesting. Alright, I'm going to have to go through cordless phone, hold on, this is going to be, this is making today's show really interesting, isn't it?
I'm telling you.
Cordless, please.
Because when you, as writers, I mean, they think that we can just take all the time in the world, and even professional writers, you know, it's a 24-hour job. I don't think we ever have a time off unless we actually force ourselves to take time off while I'm switching.
Yeah.
All right, sorry about that. So, I know, I'm being mobile today. Being mobile. Okay,
oh, that's
walking
great.
To my house now. So you're going to hear my whole entire house being all crazy. Anyways, but yeah, it's kind of an interesting life, because it is a constant, and we're always getting ideas. And I think even when we're on vacation, we're not really on vacation, or, you know, like Joanne,
right,
how she, you know, how Jo came up with the idea of out and about at the zoo with her son, and it was from being at the zoo.
I know. So you're writing even when you're at the zoo, so.
Yeah, you just, ideas are everywhere, and so
finding
that
are.
Balance.
They are. A lot of times when I go away on vacation, you know, I'm lying there on the beach or whatever I am doing. I love to go to the cottage up north here in Ontario, and they have some really wonderful cottages, and I know that I get some of my best ideas, so I take lots and lots of paper and pen, and I'm telling you, I'm writing a lot of the time. So and then I come back home, and a lot of those ideas become books or articles or whatever. So, you know, it's pretty amazing. Lots of times when we relax a little bit as writers, I think the ideas come too. But that's good and bad, isn't it? It's bad because we're never, well, really taking a break from the writing. It's good because we're getting new ideas. So, you know, it's just it's one of those things.
Writing is definitely one of those double-edged swords, and sometimes I think of it as a triple-edged sword, because you have to throw in the marketing, you have to find the time to get out there and connect with your readership as well. So it does get a little crazy and a little nuts, but you know, it's still a fun thing to do. And all right, I'm going to see if I can get my other computer up, since my other one won't log
How's
on
the
to
process
the server.
Going?
It's a good thing I have two around here. I know you haven't had a chance to read Joe's book Out and About the Zoo, but
no,
I
will
and,
though. Oh,
yeah, it is a very cute book.
Sounds wonderful.
And I have my 2-year-old little girl, and she is, you know, at the age where she loves books being read to her. But, you know, she definitely will tell me when I start reading a book. I don't even have to get too far into it, and she'll say, "I don't like it, Mommy." And she loves that book. She's not one to sit, even though you read to her, she dances around and kind of acts out what you're reading sometimes. And that was one of the few books she actually sat there and let me read without interrupting.
Great.
Yeah,
wow.
And that was amazing.
That is great.
Yeah, and I think it's because the illustrations are just so colorful and vivid. I don't want to say they're babyish because they're not, but you know when you think of like the kind of like the chunky illustrations of animals like that you'd see for like a safari kind of type nursery.
Oh, right. Oh,
they're
my
more
goodness.
Like that. They're a little bit more kid friendly versus like this is exactly what a giraffe looks like or exactly what an elephant looks like. They have a little bit of that kid appeal to them.
Oh, that's great. Wow.
Yeah. So I think that helped a lot too.
Oh, for sure.
to get her to. Really.
And does it come in ebook format or is it all only in hard copy?
It's in both. It is
in both.
Yes, yeah, available at Amazon. I know it's on at the Amazon site. I'm sure it's at a few other sites as well.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we're on there.
I definitely have to read it.
I'm getting this back in. Yay! Okay, hold on. Hopefully, we'll see Joe sitting there waiting to be brought back into our studio. So this is what happens, listeners, when we are a virtual team.
It
makes life very interesting because we're not just in a regular office where we can just call our IT guys and say, fix it.
That's right.
And we go down. Of course, the studio is not coming up for me. Oh, that's great.
Oh, wait.
It's still doing its thing. All right. We'll
see
what blog
talk can be says. Slow, right? So, yeah.
Well, yeah, it can be. I know we have a few more minutes of our show, so I'm hoping we can get Joe back on here.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if she's parked waiting for us or. Probably not, eh? Or is she?
Well, the studio's still opening up, so hold on.
Okay.
Let me. I'm telling you, it's these storms, guys. I'm sorry. It's killing my internet connection today. The life of being on the internet. Oh, look, we even have callers.
Oh, really?
Yes, I'm sure one of them is Joe, so hold on. Oh, Marsha's on one of them, too. Okay.
Uh-oh.
See if it opens up. Are you there? We opened up your line. I don't see the number. I'm sorry. This is Virginia on Stories for Children. Hello?
Hello? Am I back?
You're back, Joe. We lost
you.
I lost my internet connection, and so everything went down, even though the phone line was going. The show. So Irene and I have been talking about your book and just about writing. So you're back with us. Yay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm back.
Welcome back.
I was telling Irene, I love your illustrations and that I've read your book and that my 2-year-old, it's one of the few books she'll actually sit there and be still for me and let me read the book. Normally she dances around and acts out what is happening in the story, and she actually will sit there and look at the pictures and be good.
That's wonderful.
I've actually, some of the reviews that I've had come back from people that have smaller children,
mm-hmm.
and on one of them, the lady commented on the fact that it was even enough to hold the attention of her 1-year-old.
Wow.
Which is just great because I decided to do the pictures as so bold and colorful and things so that it would appeal to my youngest as well. And in fact, they both will happily sit and get involved with the book. Which,
That's great.
that was one of the ideas behind it, and the fact that all the animals have got big smiley faces and things. That was so that it would appeal to the smaller children as well as the older ones.
Right. Now, is the book, because Irene asked me, and I thought it was both, but maybe I'm wrong. I know it is in print, but is it in e-book format as well?
I'm currently working on all the electronic formats of it. At the moment, it's only out in print.
Okay.
But
and I know
it will be out shortly in all formats.
Okay, so I knew it was going to be.
When you have the kinderk and all the various other things that there are around, doing the electronic format takes a bit more time.
Right.
But I'm working on them, so that should be out. Hopefully by the end of the summer, I'll have all formats available. But now it's available on all Amazon sites in print.
Wow. So I know it's available at Amazon. Is it available like at Barnes & Noble or Smashwords or anywhere else like that, or just Amazon currently?
It's just Amazon.
Okay.
But I'm looking at getting it into some other places and things as well in the very near future.
Right.
The book was only actually launched for the 1st of June this year, so when my talk started, basically. And
yeah.
So I'm still trying to get it in all the other bookshops and things. I've been contacted by a couple of independent bookstores to stock it. So the wheels are in motion.
Well, I'm excited, at least for those of us who are over on the other side of the pond, as you guys like to call it, over here in Canada and the U.S., that we can at least order it through Amazon. It is such an adorable book. I know you sent me the PDF, which is how I was able to see the book. So I know I kind of got the preview kind of version of it, but it is adorable. I love your illustrations. They're so vibrant in color and vivid. And I said, I don't want to say it's like a nursery, you know, like the nursery animals, but they're more chunky than what, you know, like when you normally look at, like when someone illustrates like a giraffe or an elephant, how it's very true to the way they look. I mean, you made it more kid-friendly, so they're a little bit more chunky. And
oh, definitely, definitely. That was completely intentional. I'm glad that that comes across.
Yeah,
that's the thing. It's for small children.
Yes.
You know, so I had to create it in a way that it would appeal most to that type of age range.
Right.
Having kids. It was brilliant because I got to try it out on them and see what worked best. And the bold design and making it nice and colourful and things, that's all worked best. Sometimes you just don't need all the details.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes keeping it simple is the best way to do it.
Well, and I love that too because, you know, kids in their imagination is so different than, you know, reality. And when I say that, I mean, when you talk to a kid about a horse, what you realistically perceive a horse to be and how a kid would describe a horse is so different because their imagination kicks in. So
I wanted to have characters that the kids could actually draw themselves as well. Because, like, my son loves trying to copy pictures that he's seen in books and things.
Right.
A lot of them are too complicated, he doesn't need some of them. Whereas with this book, he can actually do quite a good copy because they are so simple. It's, you know, taking your basic shape.
Right.
I gave them all the round-looking faces with big smiles on them and things.
Right.
So that it was easy for the kids to do that as well because then they feel more involved in it. And it opens up the book to other activities and just sort of makes it more fun for them as well because, you know, a lot of the time, unfortunately, in today's world, kids don't sort of realize how much fun books can be, you know, because they're just affected by video games and all the other things that are available. You know, so I wanted to create something that, you know, they could have fun with the book and use it to spark other activities, you know, that don't involve a TV or a computer or something like that, you know.
I think that's a great point that you bring up, too, because my son, who's, of course, now 16, but he still loves art, but it started when he was young, you know, your son's age, really young, and that's how he learned to start drawing, to actually, you know, start honing his technique was by sketching pictures that he saw in books he enjoyed or cartoons he liked to watch. So I love that you've, you know, thought of that when you were illustrating the characters.
Well, it's a good way for them to build their confidence as well, because, you know, if they're trying to copy a picture, if there's actually a picture that's simple enough that they can get a good replica of it themselves, they feel so accomplished. They're like, hey, look, I'm good. You know, and it's, that encourages them to then try other things as well.
Yes, yes. No, that's wonderful. So I'm curious, what other ideas have you thought about for the Out and About series? Are there some that are already in the works, some topics that you've already thought of, or are you kind of focusing on right now getting this one out since it just came out last month, and then you'll sit down and start working on the others, you know, in a couple of months or in a year?
Well, as far as the Out and About series goes, I've brainstormed a couple of ideas. So there'll be Out and About at the Beach and Out and About at the Farm. They're some of the ones that my son wants me to write. it's him that dictates it all at the end of it. So I've got a few ideas there that I'm playing around with. But for the moment, I'm planning on doing the illustrations for my next children's book, which will hopefully be out by the end of the year, because I have another one which is about a fairy this time that wants to become a tooth fairy.
Aww.
It's called Fairy May, and the text is all written, and I've sketched most of the illustrations for it. I'm still playing around with the storyboard a little bit, but at the moment I'm concentrating because I want to get that down. And I'm also working on my chicklet, which is almost finished.
Wow.
And then I've got to go into the editing stages of that one as well. So, yeah, quite a lot on my plate at the moment. But the Out and About series, hopefully I'll get another one out next year. It's the plan anyway.
Oh, my goodness. So
my problem is I have so many ideas, I just don't have the time to do them all.
Yeah, I know. And then, you know, between, you know, the writing that you do for other places and marketing and the maintaining your own blogs and then, of course, your two little ones and a husband, I don't know how you do it. I really don't. I mean, people ask me that question. I'm sort of thinking, you definitely have topped me on being in more places than one.
Well, I have to say, actually, during this tour, I've done a lot of interviews and things, and that's one of the most common questions that they ask me is, like, how do you find the time? And I think it comes to the fact that I'm a complete control freak. I have to do things, and I get them organized, and I find, like, if I want to do it, I will find a way to do it.
Oh, that sounds like me. I'm that way, too. I'm glad to know I'm not the only one who literally lets the world know I'm a control freak.
Oh, no, I'm definitely. I'm a Virgo, and I'm exactly what the horoscopes say. I'm completely there on everything. It's like, no, I've got to do that. And but I like what I do as well. I have fun with it.
And that's important.
From the actual writing aspect to the marketing aspect. I love complete social media junkie as well. I'm like everywhere, Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, LinkedIn, you name it, I'm there. And I'm active on all of them as well. It's like people are like, how do you find the time to stay active on Facebook? And it's like, well, I'm not just on Facebook either. I'm everywhere.
Now, does anybody...
I just want to hop in and out.
Yeah. Do you get asked a lot, like, how often you sleep? Because I know I get asked that question a lot. Do you ever sleep?
Well, for the fact that I'm still breastfeeding my youngest, and he occasionally wakes up during the night, so I haven't actually got into a routine of sleeping like a solid 8 hours or anything.
Right.
So I kind of have a little bit of insomnia, I think. I very rarely go to bed before midnight because And for so long, I've, like, you know, tried to put the kids down to sort of 9, 8, 9 at the latest. But the little one will always wake up a couple of times, right on 4. And so I've just kind of have it. It's like, well, you know, I'll stay up till midnight anyway, and then I can get my work done. And then I try to go to sleep again and think, but if I keep getting woken up by him, I'll often pull out a notepad and ideas. Because for some reason I get more ideas during the night than I do during the day.
You know, I think
my brain's turning off, you know, sort of like slowing down is when all the ideas sort of like come out. So I always have a notepad ready so I can jot down and work on them later.
I have to say, I think a lot of people, when you're kind of in that sleep-deprived zone, kind of when you're half out of it, it's exactly that. Your conscious is not there to block, you know, your subconscious. So all the ideas can just come creeping in. Because I have a lot of people who tell me, oh, I'll be in the shower, you know, and so like your brain's kind of in that zone of non-thinking. And so, of course, it gets flooded with ideas.
Oh, yeah, the bathtub is definitely one of the places I brainstorm.
It's unwinding. It's all that unwinding. That's great, though. Well, you know, it's been a blast having you on this show, even with the technical difficulties we had toward the end, which is such a bummer. But I know it's late for you over there, and you have little ones that I'm sure are, like, ready to go to sleep if they haven't crashed for you already.
No, I have, like, two little Duracell bunnies as well. You know, they're not big sleepers in general, but they are incredibly well behaved. They've actually been in the room the whole time that we've been talking, and they've just been happy playing. And the small one is pushing furniture around all over the room as it has been playing with puzzles and cards at the table. So I really am blessed that I have two amazing children that actually let me get things done as well.
That is great, and a supportive husband too with everything you do. I mean, you know, I know it's hard on kids, but it can be equally or doubly as hard on spouses as well for writers. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially as he's not a writer and he has no idea what I do all the time. He's sort of like, you know, I sort of try to explain to him and he's like, I really don't get it. Because he doesn't even use a computer.
Wow.
He's like completely anti-technology and things. You know, he has enough trouble with a mobile phone.
Well, my husband...
So trying
my husband,
to explain to him what I... is hard work.
Yeah, my husband doesn't get the writing so much either. He's definitely more of a computer guy than I am because that's what he does for his living. I mean, he has a tablet and a smartphone and two laptops and radios and all kinds of crazy stuff. So he's definitely more technical savvy than I am. But when I talk to him about my writing and stuff, he'll be like, okay, honey, that's nice. You know, not that he's patronizing me by any means, but, you know, it's just because he doesn't totally get it. And then all of a sudden he'll, like, be somewhere like, oh, yeah, I saw your wife, you know, post something here, and I went, oh, my gosh, or I saw her on this blog, and he'll come home like, I didn't realize you were everywhere. Well, thank you, honey, for that. But he's supportive. He helps with the kids.
I get a lot of nodding when I talk about what I do.
Yeah.
He just sort of like nods, like, yeah, that's really good. And although a couple of times, it's sort of like, I remember once going to the airport to take a flight in the gift shop. They had all the newspapers and things. And an article I'd written for a newspaper was actually featured on their stand. So we walked in and he saw my name there and he was like, hey, that's you. Who did that? And I said, yeah, what do you think I do? He's like, oh, my God, that's amazing. You know, and, you know, other times he works at a restaurant in the center of Rome and a lot of tourists and things go there. And he had a customer come in who was from the States and he was just sort of like got chatting stuff and explained that his wife was a writer and he always has some of my business cards with him.
Uh-huh.
So he can show them to people. Anyway, when he called it out, the person was like, oh, I know her. I know what she does. And he's like,
yeah. Because I'm awful.
Yeah, he's like, how do you know who my wife is? You know, it's like, oh, I read something that she did on the internet and things. How's that book going? And he was like, oh, I don't know. You seem to know more about her than I do.
How cute. Oh, that's so cute. But, you know, it's true. Sometimes they always say that as writers, you know, our life is a lonely one, even though we're surrounded by many people. And it's because I don't think everybody really gets what we do except others like us. But that's okay. We enjoy it anyways. Well, Joe, do you want to share some of your links so our listeners can learn more about you, about your book, I mean, besides being a writer, I mean, you share great tips for those who want to write or are writing. So, I mean, I would love for you just to share all that wonderful information.
Okay. Thank you. Well, my website is jolinsdell.com. And actually, from there, you can... this one is over.
One second.
Oh.
The fun of a live show.
Yes, yes. Live shows, they're always entertaining.
Where was I?
Well, you told us JoLinsdell.com, and from there we can.
JoLinsdell.com. That actually has links to all of my blogs, because I have several. Like I said, I'm a complete social media junkie, so I don't do things by half. I have pages and things as well.
Uh-huh.
Like literally everything. All the links can be found on my page. I can find links to my various different blogs. I've got the writers. I've got the writers and authors blog, which is a blogspot.com one. Mm-hmm. And that also has a page on it as well, so you can follow it there as well. I have an As the Romans Do blog as well, which is for Italy-related things. Then I have First-Time Mums blog, which is parenting and pregnancy and things. I have my own personal blog, which is Lindsdale at blogspot.com. I'm on Facebook, where you can find me under Jo Lindsdale. Twitter, again, Jo Lindsdale. LinkedIn and Google Plus. I'm also on Goodreads. You can find Amazon author page, because I use their author central as well. So literally I'm everywhere. I think about the only one I'm missing is Pinterest, and that's only a matter of time.
Well, I'm there too. I haven't gone on Pinterest either. And I keep telling myself I need to get on there, and I'm just like, oh, finding the time to get that all set up, you know. So
yeah, I think it's one of those, like, because people are like saying to me, oh, what's your Pinterest one? Because granted that I'm going to be on there. Because I'm over it. It's like, not done that one yet. That one. You know, I've got to have at least one that I'm not doing. But, you know, also because I like to make sure that I'm doing the ones that I'm doing, I want to do them well.
Right.
Because there's no point in being everywhere if you're acting on it. Because social media is meant to be social.
Exactly.
You know, you're meant to have interaction with the people that are on there and things. So on Facebook, I often do wall chat, and I do live Twitter interviews on Twitter, I do Google Plus Hangouts, you know, so I am very active on all of the ones that I do. And I think if I was to add on even more now, it may be pushing things a bit too far, because then you have to build from, like, zero as well. And, a good following and, you know, build a strong network of people that interact with what you post as well, which is obviously the aim of the game. You know, that takes time.
Yes,
you have to build a reputation by constantly provoking a response from your followers and, you know, giving them quality content that they want to comment on. So, you know, There are pros and cons to being everywhere, but at the moment I like how things are going, and you know, so if anyone's out there and they want to get in touch, then you know you can contact me via any of them, and yes. I'll always reply.
Yes, you're very good about that.
Text me live. Sometimes on my email inbox is just have like hundreds and hundreds of messages.
Wow.
But I do get through them all and reply to everyone.
Yes, and I have to say that Jo is very good about doing that. I can honestly say that because I do converse with you quite a bit through email and through some of the different social sites, and it might not be within 5 minutes or 10 minutes, but you do get back to me within the week. So You are very good about doing that. And I know you're a very busy woman, and I'm sure everybody who just heard of all the different places you are at are going, oh, my gosh. Well, it's been great having you on, like I said, Joe. And for those who want to find her links, and, you know, probably the fastest way would be just to Google Joe Linsdale, and it would all come up. Or you can even go to theworldofinknetwork.com and under Authors on Tour, you will see Joe's picture. And right underneath, that's the link to the tour page that we set up to help in spreading the word about her tour of Out and About at the Zoo. And all her links are there as well. So, and you can see the different tour stops that Joe's been having throughout the 3 months. So you can follow along and contact her that way. I think we even have the link in our show description page as well. So that's always another way just to kind of click and go. Well, I wish you a wonderful rest of the evening. Hopefully you'll get a little bit of a break before getting back to work.
And, Thank you so much for having me. It's been great chatting with you.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. I mean, I've known you for so long, and it's so great now to have a voice to go with the picture and the name. So will you take care, and we wish you much success with your book, Joe, because I think it's great. And I am looking forward to your book with the Tooth Fairy. Because my girls love fairies and tooth fairies, especially because my middle child has lost both her front teeth, so she is all about tooth fairies right now. So we'll be looking forward to that book when it comes out. Yes, definitely let me know when it comes out so we can pick up a copy. And I just want to let our listeners know that we have a few shows coming up here at the World of Ink Network, and I need to click over to that page so I can let you know what they are. We have book discussions with host Fran Lewis. That will be on July 19th at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Fran does a really good job. She has a special hour with New York Times romance author Lori Foster. So definitely tune into that. And it looks like she has a few others that she'll be talking to as well with their books. And she does such a comprehensive critique / review of the books, and which talks to the authors. They really get into the guts of the story. So if you're someone who loves to read novels and really wants to understand the ideas behind the story and the character development, Fran's show is a great show to tune in and find that information out if those authors are on, or just to find a new book. And then Marcia Casper Cook on Friday, July 20th, is doing a special Good Story is a Good Story. And that will be at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And she has a very special guest coming on, Jack Remick. And they will be discussing writing screenplays, books, blogs, and doing some tips for writers as well. So definitely tune into that show. Marcia always has some really great guests on there as well. And that is all the shows we have this week, anyways, on the World of Ink Network. And we thank you for listening to the Stories for Children show with Joe Linsdale as our guest. Irene Roth was unfortunately dropped from our call, so she's not here to say goodbye to everybody. But we thank you all for listening and wish you all a safe and fun rest of the week. Bye-bye.
Me to the World of Ink.